Hello, this is DM Tsunami from Legacy of the North Persistent World, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Eshercon Zelo, and I'm back from Mexico.
And I'm Skunkeen, a.k.a. Skunkomania.
And this is episode 74 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
I'm back from NWCCon, although I never left the house.
And that too. What did you do with NWCon 4? Did you have fun?
Yeah. Actually, if I'd listed everything that I did, it would take up the whole show because there was just so much to do at NWCCon.
Well, I played a couple events. 3, 4 maybe.
I tried to get in as many of them as possible. And
I played
and
in
the chats.
I played in one of Venture's events.
Oh, yeah? I've yet to ever game with him. I hear he's like one of the best dungeon masters for campaigns for NWN2.
Yeah, that was it was pretty fun. It was me and I think S. Estelindis played, and a couple other people. I had to leave before it was over, but it was pretty fun.
Oh no, you gotta stop doing that. I've had that too much myself.
Have you?
Yeah. With some guy named Noble Star and some character named Ashercon's done that to me in some of my events, too.
Sorry, sometimes real life kicks in.
Yeah.
Well, we went for like 2 hours, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually run my sessions for 3 hours.
But it was pretty fun. And then I went over to Anacolia.
Yeah, I saw you.
You were sitting over on the other side of the stands during the jousting event.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to go join. I wanted to go joust, and they wouldn't let me.
Really? I could have sworn you were.
Or they wouldn't let Noble. Sorry, it wasn't me. It was Noble.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting over there watching the jousting match, which is actually pretty cool that they have like a jousting system with the horses and everything. And I guess you click on the little flags, and then it runs a script and. I guess randomly picks a winner? Is that how it works?
I think somehow there's a dice roll involved in that.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I got up out of the stands, and because when I arrived, I was talking to, I think, Roanne, and one of the characters he was running.
Hey, at least we got the Roanne in plug-in this time.
Yeah, I was talking to his character, and I said, well, I'm going to sit and watch, see how it works, and then I might go try it. So, but then when I went down there to try it, they said, I'm sorry, you should have came to here or earlier or something like that.
Oh, shit, that's like that. Because I was there to grant the prize to whoever won the contest. They won The Witcher. It is Sol Erbrol. But there was prizes given out throughout the whole NWCCon. If you've seen the list, there's like tons of winners. And that's mostly thanks to the awesome sponsors helping with NWCCon.
So who are all the sponsors?
We had Atari Europe, Obsidian, My Extra Life, Lazy Bones, and even Carvon donated some for the NWCCon swag he gave out. But still, Atari Europe just, I think, blew everybody away with offering so many free games and plus that wicked flesh-cutting sword. That was just amazing.
Who donated that?
Atari Europe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep, and I just wrote them back all the mailing addresses for everybody to receive their prizes, and they confirmed that they got the mailing list. So they're likely to be working on that soon. A good thing about this was they were offering like 10 boxes of Storm of Zaheer for Knights 2. So with them to be doing that now, that kind of hints that it's on its way. It's around the corner. We're going to be getting that very soon.
Yeah.
You know, in stores.
So, Skunk, you kind of became NWN Con 4 there, didn't you?
Carvon and myself, yes. Sadly, most of the team that signed up for it kind of dropped. I think you had a good way of putting it. A few people got wifed. See, what I did is that, even though my lady wasn't too happy with it, but I asked her like 2 months in advance, yeah, baby, can I do this, you know? And
baby can.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I had to get permission 2 months in advance with my lady, and that's what I suggest to anybody next year.
That's funny.
Get permission.
Well, hey, I guess we had like 3 podcast events lined up. We had one Friday night, Saturday morning, and Sunday afternoon. And just so everybody knows, or I guess we can tell everybody, I got back from Mexico on Friday afternoon. I think we had that scheduled for like 11 p.m. our time.
Mm-hmm.
And so at about 8, I said, well, when was I talking to you? I was chatting with you. Was it about 8 or 8 or 9?
3 hours before the
podcast
ended.
Yeah. And I said, so I'll see you there. And after I got off with you, I said, well, I'm just going to take me about an hour nap. So I can be rested for that. And I'll be danged if I didn't sleep through it.
At the end of NWC Con, Carlo won, ended up scheduling pretty much the last event. And by that, he ended up recreating his famous NWN1 version of Desperate Measures. Yeah. And I didn't meta game through it because I was lucky to co-DM it with him once before. So I role-played through it. During the point, I was just getting beat tired from just, 3 days of gaming. And I hit the coffee, when the session was done. Said, good night, everybody. Laid down in bed, and that coffee kicked in. I was a mess. And I slept for like a 14-hour coma after NWCCon was over.
Well, Saturday morning I got up. We had one scheduled for 9 a.m. Venture from NWNCampaigns.com, he showed up. And so he and I chatted on Skype for like 15, 20 minutes. We talked about what he's working on and talked about his NW Campaigns website.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll play that for you later in the show.
Hey, there's also a wicked IRC chat that him and Carlo won partook, because they're pretty much, those two guys are very respected dungeon masters in the community.
Uh-huh.
And I would tip my hat to those fellows any day. They stayed in the IRC and answered any questions that any folks came in and did. And there might be a few chat logs around here and there. Really good, insightful, and good dungeon mastering tips on how some of the pros do it.
So then on Sunday, I think I originally had it scheduled for 2 p.m. I moved it to 3 p.m. That was our third event for the podcast. And Miranda and Tsunami from Legacy of the North showed up. And so I talked to them for like 30 minutes about their persistent world. And we'll play for that for you too later. So stay tuned.
Yep, and I did exactly what you told me, Trey. I took their names and written it up and put it in my Mask of Betrayer box, and
uh-huh.
The drawing for the Neverwinter Nights podcast swag.
Cool, and I think Tsunami won the t-shirt, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Cool. So if you'll get me his address, I will get that sent to him.
All right. Unless he contacts you.
Unless he contacts me. Yeah, Tsunami, so if you're listening, just shoot an email to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com and send me your address, and I'll get that shirt out to you.
I was rooting for Miranda to win it. Because Tsunami, he knows that I'm not happy that some of my favorite DM tools didn't make it into the DMFI tool set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Trina Dragonstar, who won the Atari Sword, she ended up hosting a DM picnic for NWCCon, and there was a bunch of Dungeon Masters that showed up for that, and we got to talking about that, and he told me I could go ahead and make one, make a Skunkomaniac version of DMFI.
Really? That's cool. So did you?
No, not yet. I think he's calling my bluff. We'll see. You know how many eyes would roll if people saw a Skunkomaniac version of DMFI on there?
Hey, speaking of drawing skunk, didn't you? You want to read off all the winners?
Oh, that'd be a long list. We had so many prizes to give away. That's a long list of prizes.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you want to read it off or not.
Yeah, folks, check out the page for NWCCon4.info, and there's a list of all the prize winners on the right-hand side of everybody who won and some of the sponsors that sponsored some of these prizes. And hopefully they'll come back again next year, if all goes well, for us to have another NWCCon, and there'll be more. NWCCon, I mean, isn't just about dungeon mastering events. And I think that was a huge misconception with something like the vault polls lately for NWCCon. Yeah, because it's a showcase of all our community talents. It's not just dungeon mastering. We got custom content groups. We got pro builders like Lance Bartel showed up and chatted with people. We had scripters from BioWare show up and. And the whole thing turned into a let's find out information on Dragon Age kind of thing. And we had CTP hosted a session. You know, it's a custom content group. You know, that's good talent in that group. As a matter of fact, they ended up having a contest where they gave away 3 boxes of The Witcher to whoever could go into the CTP server and use their easy-to-use...
Yeah, I wanted to go do that.
Oh, yeah? Guess what? Dave,
won. Yeah, I saw Dave won one.
He deserved it. Yeah, he won. What it was is that whoever found the most bugs in the tile set... Well, they're not really much bugs. They're just little tile set errors, you know, like points of notice to let the developers know what needs to be fixed. And so all you do is you just lay down a marker... use a wand at a location, and Dave found a whole bunch too, along with 2 others. And it's easy enough for anybody in the community to go in there and do, and it helps it get released, you know, sooner. And right in the middle of NWCCon, he plants a big one on me. He messages me Project Q.
Project Q.
Yep, that rumored unofficial NWN patch. And so he starts sending me all these pictures. I'm like, whoa, information overload.
So expanding and facelifting Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, they're bringing the graphics up to date.
Really? Who's doing this?
Project Q.
Wow.
And it has some BioWare folks working on it, too, in their spare time. Yeah, but they're still focused. Whatever BioWare people are working on that, are still focused on Dragon Age, getting that going great for us.
So who's the main organizer of this?
I think it's pretty much looks like a complete team thing so far.
So they're like revamping the graphics? Is that what they're doing?
Yep, well, that's what it looks like. They're like orcs, ogres, and I had an interview with a pretty top-notch tile set creator that's supposedly working on the project too to... And he said quite a bit about Project Q before it was even announced. And you'll be finding out here soon, folks, on the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Okay, so that's Project Q. Sounds interesting. Revamping of Neverwinter Nights.
Yep. You wanted to ask me about some future NWN podcast events that are coming up here soon. Hate to say it, folks, but I'm gonna, right after NWCCon, I got a little bit of work to do. Then I'm wanting to work on my areas for... Bouncy Rock Halloween project.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, I'm going to end up laying back off of DMing for a little bit and put my heart's work towards building.
Do you want to talk about the NWN vidcast that you just put out?
Oh, yes. Well, the NWN podcast, and we're working on a new site. We're actually working on two new sites, a new podcast site and a vidcast site. So, and the podcast site's going to take priority, without a doubt. Upcoming here soon, folks, we're going to have an extra show called the NWN Vidcast, where it's mostly going to be a tutorial and show you, you know, and showcases of in-game stuff to actually give you a better presentation of some of the great community works being done in-game and give you a good eye view of it for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. So keep an eye on our NWN Vidcast page, please.
And we'll put the link to that in the show notes. And you'll get to see one video that Skunk did where he's doing some drawings of some of the winners for NWN Con.
I won't always be wearing the suit. Sometimes I'll be naked.
Oh, God. Okay, so now I'll step back as you listen to me, Astrakhan, talking to Venture and Miranda and Tsunami this past weekend during the NWN Con 4 on Saturday and Sunday.
Hey, this is Venture checking in for the chat.
Hey, Venture, how's it going? This is Trey, a.k.a.
Astrakhan. Oh, hey, Trey. How you doing?
I'm all right.
So what's going on?
Well, we're just kind of sitting here waiting to see if anybody showed up.
All right. Give it
so,
a few
So which world do you, or do you have?
I have a weekly campaign. It's the Nyaldor campaign, N-A-E-L.
Oh, yes.
And then I also run Neverwinter Nights, NWNcampaigns.com, which you guys have talked about a couple times.
Oh, yes, yes, okay. Yes, I thought that you sounded familiar. And so you're Venture, a.k.a. Evan?
Yep, that would be me.
Cool. So where do you hail from? Are you in the U.S.?
I am from, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow, okay.
Pennsylvania. And so you guys are in Arkansas, right?
Yes, we're down here in Arkansas. Yeah. And Dave's out in California, and Skunk's in Illinois, I believe, is where he's at.
Okay, he's
in. So we're kind of spread out as well.
Okay. Where's Michelle now?
I think they moved to Ohio. They were in Kansas, and then, or near Kansas City.
Okay.
Emporia or somewhere there. And then I think they recently moved, so.
Yeah, I heard on the, well, not the, I didn't listen to the most recent podcast yet, but I heard the one before that she came back. So, good. Well, let's see if anybody else checks in here.
So, anything new going on in your campaign?
We are actually, we have the, what I call the final battle of this arc of the campaign. We stopped just short of it last time, and we're going to play that tomorrow night. And then take, I don't know, a month or so off while I get ready for the next stretch of the campaign. Which is probably good. I need a break. So that's the one thing about a weekly campaign is it's a lot of work from week to week getting it ready.
I bet.
I know what you mean.
We do a weekly podcast.
It
takes a lot of work. Sometimes I get disappointed because I don't get to play as much as I want to because I put so much time into this podcast.
Yeah, that's how I feel. All the there's a ton of modules I'd like to download and try out, things like that, but I just don't have time for it right now.
Well, you know, we're like up to episode 72, and just about in every one of them we talk to somebody who has a module or is a modder, and I've only got to play like a handful of those that we've actually talked to. I want to play them all.
Yeah.
Just don't have the time.
Yeah. Michelle seems to be the one who,
she has the time.
Yeah. Lucky her. Yeah. Anyway, well, it's starting to look like, might not be anybody else, checking in here.
Yeah, it looks like it. I wasn't sure. I told Skunk when we came up with this idea, I said, I doubt very many people will show up, but hey, let's try it anyway, so.
Yeah, can't hurt.
You know, and we were trying to support the NWN Con thing, so.
Yeah.
So tell me about your new website. NW Connection. So is that something that y'all have kind of had to build out of necessity, or?
Yeah, it was more... one thing I noticed, I have another website for my campaign, and I noticed, especially with Neverwinter Nights 2, it could be difficult sometimes finding players just because campaign play, I think, is not one of the more prevalent methods of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, for example, if you look even over at Neverwinter Connections, to find a campaign or find players, you had to sort through forum posts and things like that. And I had toyed around with the idea of something even much simpler than what I ended up making, just a page that listed campaigns and had links to them so you could just look in one spot. And then it really started... kind of accelerated the process when Neverwinter Connections started having, I don't know if you remember the trouble it had, I don't know, probably
yeah,
a month
yeah, I did.
Ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I put up the forums, and then that sort of got me into website building mode, and I just kind of took it from there and slowly added in the features, and now we have what we have now. So the hope is it'll just help match people up to campaigns a little easier and maybe drive people back to Neverwinter Connections, because we definitely, it's a niche way of playing the game. So, but that was it in a nutshell.
Well, we had actually been, when Neverwinter Connections started having problems, you know, Skunk's really involved with that. That's actually how we got to know him, was when he won the DM of the Year award or whatever it was that he got.
Right.
And we had been, just kind of talking one day, if they're having so many problems, you know, we're all programmers, so we were thinking, hey, we should all get together with somebody and maybe talk about trying to rebuild the site or something.
Right.
Because I think it's an excellent toy, tool. Sorry, I said toy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been setting up games over there since either 02 or 03.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And then a couple years ago, I got real tired of they were having trouble in the forums, were real slow. And that's when I made a website just for my campaign, so I'd have a reliable forum.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm not a programmer or anything like that. I just kind of tinker with, Drupal is the, engine powering.
Drupal, yes. I'm familiar
website.
With it. Yeah, I'm actually if you go to nwmpodcast.com,
uh-huh.
Which is our other domain that we own, starting to rebuild our site because we've been using WordPress.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You've probably heard of all the problems that we've been having with our host and our files. So we're trying to get all of our files moved over. I've got us a new hosting account with the help of Skunk. We got onto Servage.net.
Okay. Okay.
And they give us lots of room over there and heard some good things about them. So,
are you going to use a CMS for this?
Yeah, we're going to I'm going to use a simple machine forms and tiny portal is what I'm using right now.
Okay.
Although while I was in Mexico, I was doing a little research on all the different little CMSs that are out there and I came across Ruby on Rails.
Have you
heard of that?
I've heard of it. I don't know much about it.
And they have a CMS called Radiant that is based off of that. I thought that was kind of cool. And it was very simple to use. And I don't know. I might switch to that. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to play around with it a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. Drupal is it's very powerful, but it's also pretty complicated at times, too.
I've heard that.
Yeah, the only thing it doesn't have is a real good scheduling component that satisfies the sort of things that Neverwinter Connections did. Fortunately, Neverwinter Connections got itself back on its feet, but for a while there we sort of were patching together just a...
Right, yeah. I know y'all were scrambling. It was going down all the time and getting hacked.
Yeah.
Was that what was happening?
Yeah, you go to the site and it wouldn't load right and... some people their virus scanners were going off. I think, I don't know much about it, but it was an SQL injection was something that inserted into the site, and so people were getting, stuff hacked into their computers, and it was getting ugly.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
Yeah, I used to run a website that I created with Mambo.
Okay.
I think it's now evolved into Joomla.
Yeah, I think they branched. Yeah, yeah. My other site is Joomla.
And that happened to me on that website. Some person or entity over in Italy, I think it was actually Italy, that's where I traced it to. They had hacked in somehow. I guess some of my directories weren't secured enough.
Okay.
And they had got in and injected some PHP code, which changed my database, and they were spamming from our website.
Great.
And so I got threatened by the host to get shut down for that. And so I had a calendar event module that I was using, or a plugin that was just a calendar that would pop up, and you know, you could just put events on there that were going to be happening, and that would show over on the side and they had actually used that component or that plugin to do it with. And so I had to remove that.
Yeah, that's the hard part about the CMS, is you have to, every little piece of it, you have to make sure it's updated and every single one's a potential vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
so how long have you been playing Neverwinter Nights?
Back since it started? I got it the day it came out. I sort of had it on my radar and actually took off from work the day it came out back in 2002 it came out, I think.
Uh-huh.
And kind of didn't have the guts to start up my own campaign, so I played through the official campaign, and then messed around on the tool set, and then I took a class over at Neverwinter Connections, and a guy over there, Big Blue Paul, who's I don't think around anymore, talked me into co-DMing. I don't know if you ever played the Saltmarsh, Sinister Secret of Saltmarsh module for Neverwinter Nights. We started with a group in that in early 03, I think, or late 02, and kind of transitioned that into our own campaign, which went into 06. And then we started the Neverwinter Nights 2 campaign in May of 07, and that's still going on. So, how long have you been involved?
Since about 2005.
Okay.
Because we started the podcast in 06, right when Neverwinter Nights 2 came out. But we used to have a gaming clan of about four or five of us, and we played Unreal Tournament 2004. And then one of the guys asked, hey, he had played Neverwinter Nights a couple of years before that. And he said, hey, have you ever played Neverwinter Nights? And we're like, no, never heard of it. And we were mostly first-person shooters, you know. And so he got us onto that, and we set up a private server where we loaded up Nordok.
Okay, if I heard of that.
Persistent World Nordok.
Yeah.
And there was somebody's variation of it. I can't remember exactly which one it was. And so the four or five of us would always just get on, and we played through that for, you know, several months. And that's how I got hooked on it. Been playing it ever since.
Very cool. Yeah.
I love the role-playing aspect of it, so I like to visit Persistent Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get on Persistent Worlds
as far as NW1, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was in Alpha. I don't know if you ever heard of Alpha, Land Far Away.
Uh-huh.
I was a player there for a while, but only got on sporadically. And then I tried, there was a Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World, which was fun. Jewel of Calamishan, I think. I got on that for a little while, but mostly I've just been doing my campaign here.
So speaking of your campaign, which one is you have one at 11 starting?
It's at noon.
Is it noon?
Yeah, well, noon Eastern, which
Eastern, so that would be 1?
1 your time, yeah. I still got some fine-tuning to do. When I got back from Mexico, I decided to take the first part of my campaign that we went through back in May of 07 and try to strip it down into a single adventure. So I got the walk mesh posted on Thursday night, the PWC file that you need for Neverwinter Nights 2, and I'm still kind of tweaking it right here leading up to the game.
Well, I'm on the front page here. I was looking through the list. Let's see. At 1, I see NWX IRC panel. Yeah, well, my time. Let's see. And so, three, I see NWN2 Tour of Baldur's Gate.
And it's Fate of the Heaven Slayer is what it's called.
Oh, there it is. Okay, it's 11. Okay, so it's 11 my time. Sorry.
11 your time. Okay.
Yeah. I might stop in and play if you don't mind. If you don't mind.
Okay, yeah, sign up. We'll be starting hopefully right at I guess 11 for you. And I made it open so you don't have to create your character on the server. You can make it on your own computer ahead of time and just bring it in. That way we'll have more time to play.
If I already have some characters in my...
Yep, we're starting at level 1, though. That's
level
the only
one.
Thing.
Okay.
It's starting. It was the very first module, and I stripped out a bunch of areas to try to get it so we could hopefully get it done in one session.
Okay.
So,
So I need to download a PWC.
Yep.
And the DMFI hack, which I think I already have that.
Yeah, there's a few hacks and PWC, which all Neverwinter Nights 2 modules, you need that, not necessarily that PWC file, but you need whatever PWC file the game uses.
Cool.
That's the walk mesh, so.
Alright, well, I'll let you
maybe
go.
I'll
let you get prepared for that. Hey, I do appreciate you stopping by.
Sure.
And, even though there wasn't anybody else here, but like I said, I wasn't sure how this was going to go over anyway, so.
That's okay. It was good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
All right, Trey.
Talk to you later.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye. So, okay, Miranda and Tsunami, tell us who you're with again.
We're with the Legacy of the North Persistent World.
Oh, okay. And how long has that Persistent World been going?
It's been through a couple of changes, but the initial module was started the week after the game released back in 2002. So,
wow.
We've still got some staffers from 5 or 6 years ago who come in and out. So, we've had a pretty long run.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit of the background story and maybe an interesting story or two that's happened at your Persistent World.
Well, I guess I can give you a little bit of the background, and Miranda may be a little bit more appropriate to fill you in on the more interesting stories. She's one of our more active DMs.
Okay, before you go there, so you're a DM and creator?
Let's see. I started as a player a few years ago, then got into some scripting, and all of a sudden became the head scripter, and then, again, rather suddenly, when we lost our old host, became the host. So I do some DMing, but most of my time it is spent in modding and hosting and building and administrative tasks. Miranda is really one of our more quest DMs who works with the players to really create the interactive environment.
Yeah, I do a lot of player relations. Some big quests, a lot more smaller quests, and just kind of being in the shadows. And when I see some RP, you know, doing some extra little rewards and kind of making it more alive through the NPCs.
Miranda, were you in on the Girl Gamer podcast that we tried to put together? Okay, I didn't know if you were or not.
No, this is the first podcast I've ever been on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Legacy of the North, really, it's set in the whole Sword Coast North area, running from south of Neverwinter up into Mirabar. And so very much the similar setting to the original Neverwinter Nights campaign. Actually, our crew starts in a little adventurer's camp in the Neverwinter Wood, and probably we do more out of the Port Last area than anything else anymore. But we've had a number of events take place over the years. I know one thing that really took a lot of people by surprise in the past year was we went through a story arc campaign where we actually where Lord Nashor was poisoned and died, and now we have a new ruler of Neverwinter. So we kind of went off the pages there, and I think some people were unexpected that we would do something kind of that different. It's really it's a world that focuses a lot on role play, but there is an awful lot of you know, adventuring too. We have a good collection of dungeons for different levels. We are limited in our level progression up to level 25. So we find that once you get beyond that, it just gets kind of crazy trying to keep up with the powers and so forth and create challenging encounters. So we try to balance that level progression to keep it slow enough where people find it interesting. Do you have any thoughts about things we've done lately, Miranda, that you want to share?
No, I'm just excited to bring in a little bit new arc into the world with, we have a pilgrimage of halflings coming from Lauren that are finding kind of this long-lost area where some of their distant relatives had migrated to, say, about 25 years ago. And so part of the quest will be, you know, the PCs trying to help this band of halflings try to find where their relatives are and sort of uncovering that whole thing. And then we have a new sort of halfling village that we'll eventually put in place once everything gets sorted out.
Sounds interesting. So how many players do y'all have on your Persistent World? Do you have quite a few, or does it range? Is there a range of number that people come and play all the time?
We've never had a huge population. For a long time, the hardware we played on would only allow hosting of about, I think we had a cap of something like 30 players. But we would sometimes approach that cap during the, you know, the 2004-2005 time frame when Neverwinter Nights was at its highest popularity. Now I'd say we average closer to a dozen, wouldn't you say? Or I mean,
yeah, sometimes it goes up a little bit more than that. It ranges probably.
Last night I think I saw us hit 18, so fairly good turnout for us. So not a huge population, but they do tend to be fairly interactive.
When we have some of the bigger events, sometimes we still fill up, but it's been a while. I think when we did that Port Last Ball fundraiser, mm-hmm. that was one that capped everything out and people had to kind of fight to get on.
Oh, that's cool.
That's right. I remember that. We were beginning to have some lag problems, weren't we?
Just a little.
And how many players was that when you started having?
That was 20? 30.
30. Well, that's quite a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot to be on at once.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we have a couple hundred players who float in and out, but it's rare to see more than, you know, a good night. We hope we get close to 20. It usually floats between a dozen and two dozen. So,
you have players all over the world, or are they mostly in the U.S.?
All over the world. We have a few from Sweden, a few from Australia. One, I think, was from China.
Yeah.
And that's a little interesting. English is definitely a second language.
Yeah.
But they brought some good stuff, and they're really trying to do some RP. So.
Right, yeah. I know most of our players, I think, are probably still on the West Coast U.S., but that's more because that seems to be where the core group started. Mm-hmm. They're not the majority by much. We have players from all over the world.
Yeah, we've got some Canadians and...
Canadians. We have some people from England. We've got an Irishman that shows up every once in a while. So.
Did y'all participate in the NWN Con 4? Did you have any events in it for your world?
We did not. We had some real scheduling issues with our staff at this time. I myself was out of town until late last night, so we weren't able to really do much. Unfortunately, I had wished we could, but it just wasn't in the cards.
I had to work all weekend.
So how many DMs do y'all have, active DMs do y'all have? And if you want, you can name them if you want. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, we're actually have a slightly smaller staff than we have in times past. It's been a rough year personal life for some of our staff, and they've ended up dropping out all unrelated incidences, but you know how real life does intrude upon the game sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Right now, there's myself, of course, and Miranda here. Another longtime player is a fellow named Sakes. He's been around for ages. And then we have a couple of DMs who are sort of the original builders. They participated in some early building of the module and then left for a while and then came back to us about a year ago. And they are Katsy and Shanra.
Oh, okay. So do y'all have any apprentice DMs or anybody learning to be DMs?
We do a really good program that's a guest DM program, and where we'll kind of recruit people who we see, you know, good role players and people with good ideas, and put them up for, say, a month in a temporary DMship where they can run whatever stories they've got in mind and show us what they have. And it's actually how I became a DM. And it just kind of shows you what they can do on that side of things and gives them a chance to see that side of things.
Yeah, we've had the guest DM program for a while now. Actually, I sort of came in that way, although, as I said, I don't do much in the way of building I don't do much in the way of DMing so much. I'm so busy building.
Right.
But that is how we pretty much bring everyone in to into the staff. We kind of give them a trial. A previous head scripter, a fellow named Moth, this is no relation to whoever is doing the Moss and Phila module, but anyway, he goes by Moth in our world, wrote some nice scripts to kind of limit the powers of the guest DM so that, if we get anybody who's maybe had one too many in there, they can't really tear things up. And fortunately that hasn't happened too often, but, anyway, we try to run everybody through that guest DM program so that, you know, they get a feel for what is involved in doing a DM, DMship and the work involved.
That's cool.
And it also gives them the ability to, you know, sometimes people will come up and they'll give it a try and then, you know, after the end of their term, maybe they don't even finish their term, they'll say, wow, I have a whole new level of respect for you guys, and you can keep it, because I'm not doing that.
Exactly.
And it lets people who want to try it out, and then if they don't want to continue, you know, everybody walks away happy, there's no hurt feelings, because it's all set up on a trial basis.
Right. That sounds good. Interesting. So has Skunkine guest DM'd over at y'all's world?
He keeps promising to do that, and apparently he's busy running these, I don't know, DMFI sessions or something.
Oh,
so.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's a busy skunk lately.
He is a busy skunk. He has shown up, and he's RP'd with us some, and that's been very good. He has a number of things that he has talked to me about that he wants to do as a guest DM, and we're eagerly anticipating him getting around to it.
Okay, cool.
But I'm definitely looking forward to him being able to come in and do some of that. And I would love to have some to talk to some other DMs about possibly running things. You know, the issue we run into there is when you come into a world, it's hard to kind of DM in that world unless you know something about it. But also, DMs have only a limited amount of time they can invest into it. So, we're open to working with people. If they are interested in doing something like that.
I'm just kind of thinking of questions here as we go along. So, I know a good question. Does your world use any custom content? Do y'all use the CEP and all of those additions and things?
The only custom content we're currently using is CEP 2.1 with a very minor fix package that Barry 1066 sent to me. So it's basically SEP 2.1 with one very small additional hack. All links from our website at lotn.info, where you can download those. So if you already have SEP 2.1, there's a very small fix patch that Barry sent out that easy and quick to download.
And I'm sure that's also on the vault as well, right?
Yes, the links are actually, I believe, I believe they're on the vault. I know, of course, that SEP 2.1 is. I believe the fix pack is out there somewhere, too.
So is there anything that y'all have done in your persistent world that you're especially proud of and that kind of makes your world unique from any others? That's a tough question.
Yeah,
made that up, too.
Yeah. What would you say? I mean, I know that as I related earlier, the one thing I saw that I thought we kind of went off the page was we, you know, killed off a main character, which seemed to be a little radical. But that's not really anything to be terribly proud of, is it? It's just something different that you wouldn't normally expect to have happen.
Well, I was kind of an area or something that you've built that you're especially proud of, or?
I'm not sure if this falls into it, because I have played LOTN for quite a while, and I haven't really gone out into other worlds, but when I have, I don't really remember seeing that much in the way of player housing, and we do have a pretty good player housing system.
Interesting. So how do you go about getting a house? You just have to have enough gold?
You have to have enough gold, and then you have to have, you know, played there for a while, but it takes a while to get that much gold. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to request, figure out an area that you want to do it, and then request to put your house there. And, you know, if it gets approved, then you can either, if you know how to build your own, and then we, you know, go through it and make sure that it's all to spec and doesn't have anything, like some storage stuff that isn't allowed, and then put that in. Or we also have builders that volunteer to build houses for people.
Interesting. Do you have a banking system as well?
We do not have a banking system.
We've talked about these kind of things many times before, and we seem to be struggling with the almost too easy availability of gold. In the view of some DMs, I don't particularly think it's all that easy to get, but there are plenty of other people who seem to carry around a lot of cash. And so we just don't, we've kind of said we're not sure that we want to give people the ability to amass more cash.
That makes sense.
And
although you can't have too much gold, though.
Right. But
as a player myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Our system, if you die, you're not dropping all your gold.
Oh,
so
I see.
It's not like you really need a banking system. It's sort of, there.
Right. We have a very lenient death system. Typically, your worst case, you're going to lose 10% of your gold, and that's only if there's no one around to get you raised through some other means. And certainly by the time you're carrying around enough gold to where 10% really hurts, you probably have access to someone with at least the raised dead spell.
So, Miranda, would you care, if you remember one, would you care to tell us, I don't know, in a couple of minutes or so, one of your most favorite quests that you maybe DM'd and what happened and what made it exciting?
I ran a quest to figure out there was a dungeon that's been there a long time, and you know how everybody runs a dungeon again and again. Well, this was the butcher, who was an undead
zombie.
Well, he was
chained in place with this some sort of odd spell, which is how we explained why you could never really kill him off.
Right. He had and I made up, I built this whole storyline around him where he had originally lived in this other town where he had a butcher shop, and he had an apprentice, and one day had, this was a while back, this is the backstory, that the players found journals with little tidbits of information about. He'd had this shop, and he had an apprentice that was a relative of Zastam. And they, somehow this apprentice got killed, and the butcher was then visited upon by minions of Zastam, who chained him into this dungeon and made him so that he just was in ever, you know, living death, where he could never really die. And so that's how that, you know, that's how that dungeon was. So the quest kind of centered around, you know, a whole bunch of NPCs tried to figure out why, you know, why he could never die. And so then they got into searching the old butcher shop, which was closed up by then. And so I kind of created a place where, you know, a dusty old broken up place. And they found the old journals of like an employee sort of accounts. And it listed different various NPCs' long-lost relatives. And so then they went around to talk to different NPCs and got little tidbits from them and finally figured out there was a notation to this life force spell and how it could be dispelled. And they were able to finally solve that. It took, I don't know, three or four sessions to, you know, clear it up, but then when we were done, that whole dungeon, you know, disappeared because they broke the spell. And it was really neat being able to, you know, for the PCs and the players to actually affect the world that way by a quest that they solved.
And it was a convenient way for us to introduce a brand new dungeon where an old stale one was before.
Ah. And how many players did you have participating?
I think anywhere, you know, it was one that...
you had a core of about three, didn't you? And then with five or six others floating in and out?
Yeah, a lot of different newbies came in on that one. You know, it kind of revolved and a core three, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, that was fun. I actually got to participate as a player in that one a little bit, and I really enjoyed it, yeah.
So are those the kind of, are those dungeon events your favorite kind to do, or?
I think actually my favorite kind are things like little cow quests. I'll just see a group of players that are on and just kind of standing around RPing, and I'll quickly just set something up like a boy who's all, you know, dirt smeared, comes running up crying because he's was supposed to bring his cows to... you know, moving his cows from one pasture to another, and he got beset upon by bandits or, you know, orcs, and he's got to find his cows because his dad's going to kill him if he doesn't come home with all the cows. So then the adventurers come off, you know, and it just kind of spins off from there.
Yeah,
it's not really
cool.
Kind of reacting from what the players find interesting about that. And, you know, and that's probably my favorite kind.
Yeah, I like those spur-of-the-moment ones. I play over on Anacolia quite a bit, and I've got to participate in some of those, you know, as a player, stand around, role-playing with a couple of others, and then all of a sudden a skunk comes walking up, and
mm-hmm.
It's actually DM Barry 1066. And he sprays us with... The skunk sprays us, and then we got to figure out how to get the smell off and all this kind of stuff. It was kind of fun.
I had another one that was a lot of fun with another dungeon that it's actually still in there, but a wizard had found this place and started using it for his own, and he was making these giant ants, and he decided to kidnap some children and... from Port Last. And so the grandfather of these children, they had been visiting their parents' graves, mm-hmm. and that's where the wizard had kidnapped the children from. So he comes running into camp, you know, help, help, you've got to help me get back my children, or, you know, my grandchildren. And so then it started from there where they all tracked down to where they last saw him and saw little trails of, you know, like Susie's scarf and stuff. To figure out where they'd gone, and that was a lot of fun.
So yeah, I like those impromptu quests. Those are pretty fun.
Those I enjoy participating in those. I find myself usually not quick enough on my feet to really set them up. I have to tell you, since becoming a staffer, I've become even more amazed at you know, what DMs have to do and how they you know, how they can come up with this stuff so quickly, and it makes them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're definitely different from events like an event where we destroyed an island that was kind of a remnant, one of the last remnants to this old setting that the server used to use when it was first made, this island called Royd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that involved a ton of setup.
Right.
And, you know, those are fun, but it's definitely a lot more work and less, you know, spur of the moment. You know, I think the spur of the moment ones I can better, you know, figure out each individual player's, you know, what, you know, drives them and kind of include a little bit of that rather than two setup ones. It, you know, they're a little bit
As a DM, do you find yourself a little frustrated when you've spent hours and hours planning out a story and then the players take it a totally different way and it strays from your story? And
not so much. I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, man, it was going to go there. But, you know, that's kind of interesting, and I try to build from it from there. Oh,
okay.
I like it when they get into – you know, open up another area that I hadn't even thought of. Now, sometimes it might take me a minute to go, you know, to get up to speed and go, okay, well, we can do that.
One of the things that has helped me with that on the few occasions I have run quests is I tend to break my sessions up into fairly short sessions. So when the players start taking it in a weird direction, I'll say, you know, that's about all the time we have for this week. We'll meet back next week and pick up. and then I'll write some story in the meantime. I found that that's the way that I can do it. I tend to do stuff that tends to be a little longer, multi-session type quests where I'll run a session for an hour or two. And then usually I try to keep it to under 2 hours and then just kind of make it a weekly thing where we can get the same people together at the same time every week. But that's my style, and it certainly is great that, you know, Miranda's style and the style of some of the other DMs complements that pretty well, because, you know, not everybody is there at the same time every week.
Right. So have you ever had any events that, like, totally redefined your legacy of the North Persistent World in any way? Like, I think I heard you say that you were destroying an island. So did you really change the world and that island is now gone?
Yes. Redefined it. It was actually pretty amazing. And it didn't get destroyed the way I had intended it to. Some player had this rogue plan and we just built off from there. We'd had a trial because the council of this city, was looking like it was corrupt, and so the mayor, you know, was arrested, and they had this whole huge trial. And it, you know, the various sets of players had investigated different aspects, and the good on the server, the Merciful Blade, had, you know, thought that this one guy was really bad. And so it kind of came out at the trial that maybe he wasn't so bad. He was being forced to do this by somebody worse than him. So it kind of made the players kind of think, oh, you know, but it was too late. He'd been convicted, and he's going to be hung. So we had the citizens just riot, and so everybody was fleeing the island and trying to evacuate, and they were rioting and all this crazy stuff. Well, this druid on the mainland decided that he'd had it, and he was going to bring the island back to nature. So he came on, and he went and planted some seed down in the sewers that just exploded plant growth. And so while everybody's evacuating and rioting, we have this tree sprouting and plants just erupting, all the cobblestone and just chaos. And it just turned out pretty neat. So now all the ship captains, the story is, all the ship captains won't go near the island because they're afraid their boats will be entangled in all the growth that is still there.
Interesting. That's right. Cool. So is that how you also add new areas to your world? Do you try to incorporate an event where you might have an event or a series of events, mm-hmm. and then now you have a new area?
Uh-huh.
As Miranda was saying earlier, she's got this halfling storyline that's going to introduce a new area that's kind of going to involve some habitations for halflings and there's a new temple there, I think. So all that's going to be discovered through a storyline so that we can add that on.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah, we try not to just have stuff show up and not explain. We try to, merge it in so that some players either have some sort of history with it or, they're discovering it through a story rather than blankets there.
Excellent. That's awesome. So tell us again what your persistent world is. Legacy of the North, right?
Legacy
of
the North.
They can find that. Is the server up 24/7?
Except when it crashes, yes.
And
but we all know about that.
Is that under which category is that under?
You'll
on the
find
service?
That under role play.
Role play. Okay.
It's under role play. Yeah.
Excellent.
It's Legacy of the North, and our website is lotn.info.
Okay.
And cool. You can access the download information you need there, and also access to our player forums there.
Cool. So I'll go sign up on your forums later today, and I might have to come check your world out. That'll be fun.
Well, thanks.
Well, hey, I appreciate you guys stopping by. I wasn't sure how these events were going to work because I know a lot of people don't have mics and headphones like we do. So,
right. I was once I finally got a mic and a headphone, it was like, wow, this is really cool.
All right, Miranda, Tsunami, do you go anything else besides Tsunami? AKA
DM. He's DM Tsunami. I'm AKA DM Daisy.
Okay. DM Daisy and DM Tsunami. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Thank you.
And we're back.
Hey, so you mentioned before, though, but yeah, we're building a new website and some new forums. We're in the process of doing that. We got us a new host. And actually, this last episode, it's actually being hosted from the new file share from the new host. Hopefully, y'all saw the download speed's a little bit better on that last episode. I don't know. Maybe get some feedback on that.
Likely is. I have good faith in it. Oh, that with the new website, we plan to add a couple extra features. Like Michelle's mentioned before that she's going to be doing some article reviews as well on all the modules that she plays, because in case you're not up to times on the show here, Michelle games pretty much every module out there. So she's going to end up giving you the insights on a lot of those adventures that she goes through. Hopefully we have a nice section on our new website for that. It could be a good month before we have a full transfer over to the new website.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. Like weeks. So did you actually get to do any DMing?
No, myself, I did not. I was working in the... We didn't have a chat organizer. Luckily, QK volunteered to be a chat monitor, but then we ended up having all the chats over at the other... a different... We didn't use NWN2 source, like on the weekends, like on Saturday and Sunday, and he pretty much stays over there. And I was running in through chats, and then also the prize coordinator, Dane Bramage, he got held up with something else, and so I became the prize coordinator too, and I was hopping in and out of servers, and a lot of the servers that were holding contests, I issued prizes to some of the sponsors gave us to some of those. So I was busy.
I forgot I also participated in an orc raiding contest.
I am?
The pillaging of Waycrest.
Yep, that was
Carvon's.
Yep, Carvon got...
I was the only one that showed up.
Really?
Yeah. So did you win? He said if I got more than 1,600 points or something like that, then I would win. So at one point I had 2,048 points, and then I lost it all. And ended up with like minus 175.
I think NWCCon would have been, we ended up getting understaffed. But at least, there was a lot of fun still been had. Like I said, next year, you know, hopefully we could have more planning, because a lot of people had no clue what NWCCon was. And then still a lot of people have no clue how to work Neverwinter Connections scheduling system. So, well, we're going to make it a point to try to get some information out to, like, hopefully through the NWN vidcast.
Do a video, yes, I was going to say. Do a video.
You know, how easy it is to use, you know, and try to simplify it for folks. So it's things like that that the vidcast is for. One of the things is that a lot of Dungeon Master has been waiting to see the DMFI DM tutorials on video. And the NWN vidcast will be a good source of that too, which we're, that's going to be one of the first subjects for NWN vidcast. But we have a whole alignment of other guests for the NWN vidcast that's going to show us some of their beta developments for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, like tile set creators. Probably some of the best tile set creators you've probably heard of for the NWN community. We got Robinson Workshop that suggested that they would like to do a little showcase. And Lord of Worms.
Cool.
Many others, too, for their talents.
Well, I think everybody's going to enjoy your videos.
Yep.
All right, Skunk. I think that's about it for this week. What should everyone not forget to do?
Don't forget to brush your teeth 3 times a day.
And?
Always use a condom.
And?
Always put the toilet seat lid down.
And buy a podcast t-shirt.
Get in game and level up. Level up. Level up.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com or by email at show@NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
I subscribe to National Geographic, so I hear, I read a lot about that.
I should know that.
Well, you're sick.
Which one? He didn't go by that, did he?
Yeah, he did. Well, you're not feeling, you know, too good. All right. This time, I'm not evil skunk tonight. I'm sympathetic skunk, because I read National Geographic all the time, and I hear lots of horrors about traveling. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, is love, sweet love. You cut that out. Especially the ones me naked.
I didn't know what you were talking about. It went good.
I was wanting you to say, and don't forget to purchase your NWN podcast t-shirt.
Well, good show.
Sure, drop. All right, I'm going to go take some more drugs. Go to bed.